It is said of Lucifer, when iniquity was found in him, God says, you can't stay in my presence. But God wants for you to deal with the things that you have in your heart towards your brethren. He wanted the sons of Jacob to deal with the things in their heart towards Joseph. And if it's dealt with, we will be free to intercede on behalf of our brethren. May God bless and encourage us for some sake.
Amen. Amen.
We'll continue our lectures with Brother John.
Let's turn to Exodus chapter 32. You know, it's wonderful to have the Word of God before us. We've looked at two examples of intercession and how the Scriptures support the Scriptures. And we're going to see, as we look at the example of Moses again, how that the Scriptures and the testimony that is given in the Word of God supports itself, glorifying the person who wrote the Word of God. And it's all because of him, and he seeks for his glory, his testimony, and for his name here in this scene amongst his redeemed people. Now we get the privilege to look at Moses. And we have a lot of scriptures before us here this morning as we consider the man of God, Moses. And I would like to consider, in looking at him, three prayers, three times where he was interceding before the face of Jehovah. So I would like to read simply these three sections, and then we'll tie these all together. So Exodus chapter 32, and let's begin reading at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God. And he said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and he went down from the mount, and let's drop down. Verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame amongst their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp, and he said, Who is on the Lord's side? Mm-hmm. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword to his side, and go in and out of the from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, every man his neighbor. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that ye may bestow upon you a blessing this day. We begin the second intercession on the part of Moses before Jehovah, verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they had made a calf which Aaron made. Let's drop down to verse 7 of chapter 33. Moses took the tabernacle. This is the tent of meeting. This is not the tabernacle proper. Hadn't been built yet at this point. Okay, Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Joshua the son of Nun, young man, departed not from the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses, speaking to the Lord, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee not by name. Thus far the reading of the word, even though Moses' intercession continues on there, It is impossible to really take everything in a short amount of time. And we need to be encouraged to really dig into these things for ourselves and make them our own. In order to understand the situation that was before Moses, the people of God, and really, should we say, before the Lord Jehovah. We need to understand where we were. And at the beginning of this chapter, where we didn't read verse 1 of chapter 32, Moses is on the mountain. We've heard about the mountain this morning. Moses was in that place in fellowship and in communion with the Lord, with Jehovah. He had been called up hither, and he had been called up hither for the very purpose to receive the mind of the Lord with regards to the building of the tabernacle and all the furniture of the tabernacle and all the service of the tabernacle, and to receive the law of God officially, and that he would receive these things from the hand of God himself, and to discern and to have the mind of God communicated to him with regards to his gathering place in the midst of his chosen people in the wilderness. This is where Moses was. And he was here in this place of fellowship, receiving this communication from the Lord on the mountain for 40 days. And while he is up there, we read in verse 1 of our chapter here, 32, that the people saw that Moses delayed. They were looking for him. He wasn't coming down. He delayed to come down from the mount. And the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they said unto him, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." How quickly we lose sight of our Redeemer. Here is the people of Israel, and they're saying to Aaron, "Aaron, we don't know what happened to Moses. He's the one that brought us up out of Egypt." Was he? No. Moses was simply the servant of Jehovah, chosen and made available and able to lead his people, but only by divine command and divine leadership. Moses, a man after like passions like you and I, but they had their eyes on Moses. They were looking at the wrong man. God would have us to look off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He is our Redeemer, and let not our eyes be off of him. As the children of Israel were looking with this Moses, we don't know where he went. And so now you need to create some gods for us, and we'll say they brought us out of the land of Egypt. And you know, when we go through the history and the chapters before, we get to this point when the children of Israel had said, I believe 3 times before this, "Whatsoever you say unto us, we will do, and we will obedient unto the word that you give." You know, the very first thing that was that the Lord had told to Moses, "Thou shalt not have any other gods besides me. Thou shalt not make any graven images of things that might be in the heavens or in the earth or even in the sea. I am a jealous God." And what is the very first thing that the people of Israel do when Moses is on the mountain with Jehovah? "Make us a graven image." And what does Aaron do? Aaron responds. We need to understand and we need to realize, and as we look at this and not to separate ourselves and look at, see, "Aaron, wow, that was something that you would even say, 'Bring me all your gold and we'll fashion and make a calf out of it, and we'll say that these are the gods that brought us out of the land of Egypt.'" Not even a, "Hang on a minute. Who brought us out of Egypt?" There was no standing for Christ. There was no standing for Jehovah on the part of Aaron at this point in time. And so this graven image was made and was carved. And I want just to look at verse 5. Aaron saw it. and he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation, and he said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. Do we see anything wrong with this? Brothers and sisters and young people, I'd like to suggest that what we are reading here, and that when we are looking at this consciously, and that we can say there is something that does not fit here, a molten image and a feast unto Jehovah, these two are not to be together. But in the day in which we live, how much is coming under the name of Christianity that has nothing to do with the testimony, the honor, and the glory of Jesus Christ? And this is what is taking place today, young people on every hand. And what is my position? And am I Aaron who would not stand against it? And not separate myself from it, but become in association with it by participating in it? Oh, to have the mind of Christ, to understand the holiness of the Lord, and to be separated alone unto Him as we're here in this wilderness scene. But this is the situation that is going on in the camp of God's people while Moses is on the mountain. And then we find that the Lord speaks unto Moses where we began our reading. And notice this. He says, the Lord says to Moses in verse 7, get thee down for thy people. Whose people? The Lord says to Moses, your people. Get you down, your people. You know what the Lord is doing here? He's taking up the people on the very ground in which they said they were. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. The people put themselves in association with Moses, failing to put themselves in association with their Redeemer who brought them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. And so the Lord says to Moses, thy people. Now let's see how Moses responds unto that. And the Lord says to Moses, Moses has no idea, of course, what is going on in the camp down below. And so the Lord says, they turn quickly aside and they're sacrificing unto gods, other gods, saying, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, they are a stiff-necked people. And for your own study, but as you look at this, you'll see how many times this expression is given to us in these couple of chapters, that the people of Israel were a stiff-necked people. And this is how the Lord is looking at them now, when they were in the land of Egypt, under much oppression, under Pharaoh. What were they? They were an oppressed people. And Jehovah would look down on his people in Egypt, and he could act towards them in grace. Now, they were a self-willed, prideful, stiff-necked people. We've been hearing about that. They had fallen, and they had disobeyed what they had said that they would do in everything that the Lord had given to them. And so the only course for the Lord to take was to come in amongst them and consume them in a moment. And so he says this to Moses in verse 10. Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against him, that I may consume them in a moment. And I will make of you, Moses, a great nation. Do you think Moses would have done any better? Think about it. We've heard of Abraham and the fathers. I'll make of you, Moses, a great nation. Was the Lord really thinking that Moses would do any better? But we all have to come to realize that in the flesh we are nothing. Nothing. And that there is nothing that we have in ourselves that we can bring to God, but it is all what He has done for us. And here we come to the first intercession on the part of Moses. And I love this thought. Think of this. The Lord is speaking to Moses and telling them all the wickedness that had come in and the corruption into the camp of the children of Israel. Moses receives this information, takes it in. His response isn't, what are we going to do about this? I should go down maybe. Let's check this out. And then maybe we can do something about it. No. Moses has a spontaneous response before the Lord. There isn't a moment to lose. And why is he able to reply and respond and intercede before Jehovah? Spontaneously. Instantly. Because Moses is one who had come into appreciation to understand the glory of the Lord, the holiness of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. And these things were all before the heart of Moses. And what else was, as we're going to see, is that the people of God filled Moses' heart. He loved them. He loved the people of God. And so Moses has a reply in intercession. And let's look at that. Verse 11. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Moses does not accept this, what the Lord says to him, that they're your people, Moses. Moses understands completely. The Lord is the Redeemer. He had purchased them. He had brought them out of the land of Egypt with a high and a powerful hand. He had fought that battle against Pharaoh, a type of Satan. He had brought them through the Red Sea, and the children of Israel could come through on the other side of the Red Sea. The horse and the rider he has cast into the sea, and they could worship the Lord. Moses knew and had not forgotten that great redemptive work that God had wrought on behalf of his people. And so Moses, he says, they're your people, which thou hast brought forth of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. So he intercedes before Jehovah on the very fact and reality that Jehovah is the Redeemer. And that's where it all begins. Redemption is what brings us into relationship. And that's, he goes all the way back to the beginning. Instantly replying and pleading on behalf of the fact that Jehovah had redeemed his people out of Egypt, out of this world. That alone is grounds for intercession. But there's two more. Look at verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak? The Egyptians, the world, the nations. For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Ah. Interceding for the testimony of the name of the Lord. Zeal for the name of Jehovah amongst the nations. And here, why would you redeem a people? In order to bring them into the wilderness and then to consume them? Why would you take them from drowning and throw them into the fire? This isn't the ways of God. And Moses knew it. In fact, Moses knew that in all of this intercession that he would present, that even though the law had been broken and there was no hope on the grounds of the law, that regardless of the evil that the children of Israel had accomplished, that they had done, that God was greater. He was greater than it all. And he was above it all. And so he would intercede on that very reality and that very truth. He's the Redeemer. His name lives. It must be honored and glorified and not be blasphemed amongst the nations. The Redeemer, his testimony, verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Interesting. Abraham, Isaac, not Jacob, but Israel. We often hear these three put together, and it's always Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. Here we have Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Why? Because Moses, being taught of God in the things of God and the ways of God, understanding who he was dealing with, understood that Jacob was the name that was given to him as a name that was given to him as in the flesh. His name will be called Jacob, the supplanter. That was his name given to him when he was born as a man. But God changed that name. He changed that name. Thou shalt be called Israel. It's a prince of God. And why does Moses take up that name here? Because Moses understood that it was by this name. And in Israel was the seed would be blessed. It was his purposes with regards to the nations, God's purposes with regards to the nation of Israel, that he had given this name Israel to Jacob. And so it was with regards to the people, the nation. And this is God's way in grace, working out with his chosen people, his chosen earthly people. And so this is the plea, really, on behalf of Moses. On behalf of the Redeemer. On behalf of the testimony of the name of the Lord. And it couldn't be pleading on the ground of the law. That was broken. There was no hope there. So it was pleading on the grounds of grace. And that is what Moses is doing as he pleads before Jehovah and interceding for him. And then we find the answer. So there is intercession by a man of God who is in communion with God, who has an understanding and appreciation for the holiness and the testimony and the glory of God. And in such an environment, in such a condition, there is a response from Jehovah. And he says in verse 14, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. His people. And now the Lord takes them back in, as it were, and acknowledges that these people were his people. But now, question. The Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And this is in response into verse 12, where Moses is interceding and saying, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Was there any thought here whatsoever that the Lord had done something in, and I say this carefully, in error concerning his response towards the people and the sin and the calf that they had set up and the fact that they had fallen into apostasy and idolatry and turned away from Jehovah? Was something wrong here in what he was thinking with regards to his people, that the scripture would say, repent? Or would the Lord need to change his mind, as it were, in with regards to his purposes and how he would deal with his people? I would say, as Paul in Romans, God forbid. God forbid. He was above all of this, as we've said. He knows the end from the beginning. But why must he speak in such a manner? Why must he say to Moses, leave me alone? I'm going down there and I'm going to consume them. Why? Because Moses and you and I need to understand what God thinks of sin. We need to have an appreciation for what it cost him to put away sin. We need to get a hold of the holiness of the Lord. This is why the Lord must speak to Moses in such a manner. And as Joseph would test his brethren, God would test Moses. And he puts this before him. And what is the meekest man in all the earth? What is his response? I'll make of you a great nation. Great. This could be wonderful. No. We don't even read that there was a response on Moses on behalf of that thought. But the human thinking would be, wow, this is something. I'm going to jump at this opportunity. Moses isn't thinking about himself. He is thinking about the honor and glory and testimony of Jehovah and the people of God. This is what fills him. And it what fills his heart. And there isn't room in his heart for anything else. This is why God would speak to Moses in such a manner, and Moses passed the test. And then God will revert back to his covenant that he had made. He's good for his word. When he says, I will, he means, I will, not I might. It will. God's will and his purposes will all be fulfilled. And as Romans 11 tells us, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. His ways are yea and amen, and there is no change in them. But what he does, as we go through this, we find and we learn who he is. And he is glorified in our hearts, and we learn more about our precious Redeemer and his testimony, his glory, and his holiness. What a wonderful thing. So the answer to this intercession is that Jehovah repented of the evil. And he says, now go, you go down. Instead of him going down and consuming the people, Moses, you go down. And Moses goes down. And then we find in verse 19 that it's Moses' turn now to be angry. Righteous anger. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. If he had taken them into the camp of Israel, the people would have been consumed because of what was written there and carved in those stones. God had told him, you go down. And in divine wisdom, he breaks those tables of stone before taking them into the camp. And he takes that calf, he grinds it up, makes them drink it. And then he asks Aaron, why did you do this, Aaron? And I want us to learn and see what was Aaron's response. You know, Aaron, he says to Moses, Moses, why are you so angry? Like, calm down. Just calm down. And Moses, but Aaron, what did you do? Well, it's not me. Moses, it wasn't me at all. No, these people, they bring in the gold, we throw it in the fire. Golden calf. You know what this is? Aaron minimizing sin. Making light of it. It's not so bad. What's wrong with this anyways? All of those things minimize sin. And that's erring. I wonder how many times we pull an Aaron. Needs to speak to my heart. How many times do we minimize the things that we find ourselves or we allow ourselves to be put in association with? I'm checking out the faith. I like this, I like this, I like this. Whoops. What have I just done? I have said, I'm a believer. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. But now I like this, like this, like this. And what? I'm in association with all those things that everybody likes. That, does that have anything to do with glorifying and honoring the name of the Lord? We need to be careful. Let's not pull an Aaron and blame it all on someone else and minimize sin, because it's not minimized in God's eyes. What could Moses do? There's a response from Moses. And I love that response from Moses. As he would go to the camp, to the edge, to the gate of the camp. Who is on the Lord's side? He would proclaim. Who? Who is on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, come unto me. There were a few. The tribe of Levi. God would, and he must, righteously, in judgment, he must come in, and we must reap what we sow. The government of God. Galatians chapter 6. And you reap unto the flesh, you sow unto the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And this, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here we have the government of God, and his judgment must come in. And yes, only 3,000. Then we read at the end of the chapter that he sends a plague amongst them. We don't have the details of it, but we know that the government and judgment of God is sure. We reap what we sow. Thank God for his divine grace. There's no other ground. And Moses knows that there's no other ground. And so he would go before the Lord a second time. But he says to the people of Israel, and notice the wording, as we go to verse 29 and verse 30, verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go unto the Lord. He didn't minimize sin. He stated it, what it was. You have sinned a great sin. Now I'm going to go unto the Lord, peradventure. This is where Moses was. Today, these things are all history for us. It was all current. For Moses at this time, but for us, we have a Redeemer. And it wasn't peradventure. He went to the cross. He bore our sins. Our sins were laid on him. And he bore them. He bore the punishment for them. God laid them on him. By his stripes we are healed. But here we have Moses saying to the people, peradventure, peradventure, I shall make an atonement for you. And he returns to the Lord. And he says, oh, this people have sinned a great sin. And they've made gods of gold. They have made gods of gold. Aaron said, we threw the gold in the fire and out came a calf. Moses calls it what it is. He doesn't beat around the bush and make light of it. They have made gods of gold. They have sinned a great sin. And now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, I want you to look in your Bibles, and I want you to see what is after that. There is a pause, a dashed line, a space, something. It's as if it trails off. They have sinned a great sin. What more could he say? the intercession before Jehovah. What do you say? We've sinned. There's no excuse for this. It's a confession before a holy and a righteous God. And now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, think of the Lord Jesus going to that cross to become the sin bearer. But here, Moses, he takes that place as a mediator. He takes that place and he puts himself before the Lord and he says, lay their sin on me. And if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. The mediator, the daysman, the one who would stand between. We heard about standing in the gap. Job chapter 9, he speaks of the daysman. And there, he says, you know, if there was a judge who was going to be judged between me and another man, well, I can understand the judgment of that judge. But if you look and read in Job chapter 9, the words are very well there. Am I as God? Verse 32, Job 9 and verse 32, speaking of God, for he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there a daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Oh, here's what Moses was attempting to do, to mediate between God and man. God says to him, to Moses, he says in verse 33 in Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, whoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Uh-oh. That included Moses. But Moses attempted because his heart was right. His heart was for the people. His heart was for Jehovah. His heart was for him who had redeemed this people and called them out with a mighty hand. And he attempted, as it were, to stand between God and between man. But he is unable to touch the throne of God and to reach down to man and mediate between. There is but one mediator. Between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He is the one. He is the one who is altogether God, altogether holy, altogether just. And he is the one who is altogether man, who has came into this world born as a man. And he is the one who could reach between and span that gap between a righteous and a holy God and sinful, ruined man without hope. The grace of God, who would give his son, Moses would intercede for the people of Israel. Abraham would intercede for the citizens of Sodom. Judah would intercede for his brother. And if you look in 1 Timothy, where we read this morning, in chapter 2, and in verse 6, verse 5, we just quoted, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for, and highlight the next word in your Bibles, he gave himself a ransom for all. That is our blessed Lord Jesus. But this is the place where Moses attempted to stand, and God heard him. Even though he is unable to make mediation like the Lord Jesus, we find that he is still heard. And behold, the Lord says to him, I will send mine angel before thee. God acting in forbearing grace. This is the response to the second intercession. As Moses would take the place of mediator, God responding in forbearance in grace in order to bring his people into the promised rest. Moses isn't satisfied. Abraham stopped. Moses didn't stop. And he continued on. And because of time, we'll flip right over into chapter 33. And we have here Abraham is the friend of God. Moses speaks to the Lord face to face as a man speaketh to a friend. What a relationship. Isn't that wonderful that they could have this communication relationship together? Brothers and sisters, you know that's closer for us? As a redeemed people, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. This is the place of blessing that we have been brought into. Moses speaks, and now he prays. In verse 12, he says to the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people." What people? What people was that? The people of Israel. But the Lord specifically said time and time again, it's a stiff-necked people. And even Moses in the next chapter in his prayer, verse 9, he refers to it in that way. "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us." Why? For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Moses doesn't separate himself from the people of God, but identifies himself with them. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. This is the mediator. This is the intercessor. And in chapter 33, as we read there, "Bring up this people, the stiff-necked people, as thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me." But he said he was going to send an angel. But Moses said, "No, I don't dare to go without you. It's not possible, Lord, to lead this people without you. So you have not told me who you will send with me. But you have said that I know you by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Yes, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Isaiah 43, verse 1. And that's the ground that Moses is interceding on. Grace. Infinite grace. "Now therefore," verse 13, "I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And I want to just highlight this. Moses interceding, and he says to the Lord, "Show me thy way." Whose way? "Show me thy way." If we want to be intercessors, young people, how much time, or how many times, is it that we pray, and we're praying for my way? I put my plans all together. I've got it all figured out. I got figured out what college and university or whatever education I'm going to take or what career I'm looking for. And all of these things, I figure it all out up here. And then after I got it all figured out, you know what? I'm going to pray about this. And then we lay it before the Lord and say, "Lord, bless this plan that I've made." And Moses is not the path that he took at all. Because it's not my way. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. It's not your way. It's God's way. And Moses prays and he says, "Show me thy way." There is no other way. It is the only way for the believer. It is the only path It's the only acceptable path, and it is the only path that goes all the way back to the first intercession that will glorify the name of the Lord. It will glorify our Redeemer. It is the only way, and it is the only path that grace can have its full work in our hearts and lives, as that grace that leads us on day by day until He will call us home. Show me thy way, and this would be the intercession of you and I. Oh, that we would be challenged. Show me thy way. We don't have time. Later on, Moses says, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. In all of this, as we come to appropriate and understand and know the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and as He is magnified and glorified in my heart, it's then that He will be magnified and glorified in my life. But it must be in my heart first. That's where it begins. But then, what did Moses say as he stood in the gate? And coming down, who's on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And this is the question and the challenge as we consider the intercession of Moses. May it be my intercession before my Savior. As I consider this question, am I really on the Lord's side as I seek to know the ways and the mind and the purpose of the Lord, understanding the holiness of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and the testimony of the Lord? And as I appropriate that and make it my own, the Lord is able. And you see in each intercession that Moses had before the Lord, there was an answer that would take him another step down the path of faith. And this is the path that we have been given to walk. And may Christ, only Christ, be the one that would be before us as we seek to find out His way. I think of Abraham's servant. He was sent to go and seek a bride for Isaac. And you know what we read of him? I being in the way the Lord led me. He was in the way. He was in the path of the way, being directed by the Spirit of God and brought to the person of God's choice for Isaac. An example of searching out and praying and interceding to the Lord. Lord, show me thy way that I may follow you and live for you in the scene. May the Lord bless His word.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
May we sing verse 2 of 402. 402 verse 2.